Good day, and welcome to the Lattice Incorporated second quarter 2016 earnings call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to John Cunningham, Vice President, Red Chip Companies. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Eric, and good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us on Lattice's Incorporated 2016 second quarter earnings call. With us today are Lattice's CEO, Paul Burgess, and Chief Financial Officer, Joe Noto. Before I hand over the call to Paul, may I remind our listeners that on this call, management's prepared remarks contain forward-looking statements which are subject to risks and uncertainties, and management may make additional forward-looking statements in response to your questions. Therefore, the company claims the protection of the safe harbor for forward-looking statements that is contained in the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Actual results may differ from those discussed today, and therefore we refer you to a more detailed discussion of the risks and uncertainties in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, any projections as of the company's future performance represent management's estimates as of today, September 15, 2016. Lattice assumes no obligation to update these projections in the future as market conditions change. To supplement its financial results presented in accordance with U.S. GAAP, management will make references to certain non-GAAP financial measures which the company believes provide meaningful additional information to understand the company's operating performance. The table reconciling non-GAAP measures to the nearest GAAP equivalent may be found on the earnings press release that was issued earlier. And now it's my pleasure to turn the call over to CEO Paul Burgess. Paul, please go ahead.
Thanks, John, and welcome to everyone joining us on the call today. I'll make a few opening remarks and then pass the call over to our Chief Financial Officer, Joe Noto, for a more in-depth discussion of our financials. First off, I'd like to take the opportunity to apologize for any inconvenience we may have caused with the cancellation and rescheduling of this earnings call. Just to clarify, our auditors needed some additional documentation regarding an extension for one of our loan payments that was delaying our filing. Subsequently, we thought it best to have all issues regarding that item resolved in the 10-Q filed before rescheduling the call today. In the second quarter of 2016, we focused on a number of areas to position the company for accelerated growth with the introduction of our Cellmate wireless product. This included restructuring our sales force to build a stronger corrections expertise and ability to successfully manage larger quotas. In the second quarter, we also focused on managing our marketing effort to build momentum behind the Cellmate product, and we began to develop new partnerships to accelerate growth through stronger distribution and marketing presence. Before I give a more detailed review of these initiatives and our operations, I'll pass the call over to Joe Noto for a more in-depth discussion of our financials. Joe?
Thanks, Paul. I'll start by running down the P&L compared to the prior year quarter. So our total revenues decreased by $1.1 million to $1.3 million from $2.4 million in the prior year period. Most of the decrease in total revenue was attributable to a decline in technology shipments, which typically fluctuates quarter to quarter. We expect technology sales to be on par with prior year at approximately $2.6 million on a full year basis. The direct service revenue component of total revenue, where Lattice is strategically focused, was approximately even with prior levels at approximately $1.2 million. The slowdown in service revenue growth was due to reduced sales activity as we restructured our sales force and realigned targeted customer markets. While we incurred some near-term customer churn from these measures, we believe this sets the company up for sustainable growth forward. We expect any decline incurred to be offset by an increased sales pipeline and the launch of our Cellmate product, which Paul will cover in more depth later in this discussion. Turning to gross margin decreased to 29.7% from 48.3% in the prior year. The decrease in percentage in the current quarter was mainly attributable to revenue mix, as total revenue included a lower technology sales component. Technology revenue accounted for 9% of total revenue compared to 51% in the prior year. We expect gross profit as a percentage of revenues for both revenue streams, technology and service revenues, to continue to track with historical levels of approximately 60% and 30%, respectively. And turning to the company's operating loss, the company's operating loss increased by approximately $400,000 to $669,000 compared to an operating loss of $269,000 prior year. The increase in loss is mainly comprised of the loss of gross profit contribution of $800,000 from the soft technology sales quarter. And this was partially offset by lower operating expenses of approximately $400,000. The lower operating expenses were mainly due to reductions in sales force and engineering costs compared to the prior levels to more efficiently align with sales territories and revenue levels. We expect these cost reductions to be temporary as we backfill personnel into strategic markets. It should be noted that the company's quarter profitability and cash flows are highly sensitive to the level of high-margin technology shipments realized in a given quarter. We expect to move away from this sensitivity as we continue to ramp growth in recurring direct services. And turning to cash flows for a year-to-date basis, which is 6 months ended June 30th, our operating cash flow year-to-date June 30 was negative $307,000, which consisted of a net loss of approximately $1.1 million, partially offset by non-cash items totaling about $700,000, and a favorable change in operating assets and liabilities of $200,000. Negative operating cash flow of $307,000 and debt repayments totaling $663,000 were financed by net proceeds from equity and debt financings totaling $923,000. Cash decreased by $62,000 to $125,000, from $187,000 at December 31st, 2015. We continue to face the operating risk of being undercapitalized as discussed on prior calls and in our filings. To address this, we're continually seeking the additional funding needed. Additionally, we continue to be dependent on our existing creditors' willingness to restructure short-term debt maturities to support our liquidity requirements. And with that, I will turn the call back to Paul.
Thanks, Joe. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, we have taken several initiatives to position the company for a stronger growth trajectory. Although we have made progress in our sales and marketing over the last year, based on the market opportunity in front of us and our strong product portfolio, we are not satisfied with the results today. A little over a year ago, we hired a sales consulting firm to train our sales force and evaluate our sales operations and strategy. A number of areas were identified as needing improvement moving forward, and we have begun to implement these recommendations. The first of which is to bring in sales resources that have extensive experience selling directly at all levels within the corrections market and have a proven track record of successfully carrying a large quota. By the end of the third quarter, we will have new resources covering four of our target markets. The second area we identified was expansion through channel partners. Even with a strong direct sales force, we would not be able to realize the full potential of the market opportunity of Cellmate without additional market presence and distribution channels available through channel partners. Our goal is to identify partners with a strong market presence in the corrections market that will be able to rapidly deploy our product portfolio in new markets. We are currently in discussions with a number of companies that are well positioned in the corrections market. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, we continue to expand our product portfolio. Our new video technology completed testing in the second quarter of last year, and we currently have it operating in some of our facilities. The new technology enables arraignment hearings to be conducted remotely with HD quality video if required. This enables a judge to arraign an inmate without having to move the inmate from the correctional facility to a courthouse, reducing the security risk and the cost of transporting inmates. The new system enables remote visitation with friends and family, increasing accessibility to the inmates and reducing the need for friends and family, in some cases, having to travel long distance for visits. There is a secure consultation module that provides a secure consultation between an attorney and inmate. This provides the inmate with more readily available legal assistance and reduces the need for face-to-face consultation with inmates and their attorney. The remote visitation module is also capable of having interacting with smartphone, enabling the inmate to have a video visitation session with a commercial smartphone or tablet, such as an iPhone or Android device. We also anticipate upgrading our video visitation security to include facial recognition that will identify the individual on the call to ensure only those people with scheduled visitation sessions are actually on the call. We will continue to roll out new enhancements to our video-based technology through the year. We have seen an increase in demand for video products in the industry, and we anticipate this to continue throughout the year. An upgraded version of our video visitation will incorporate enhanced scheduling and reporting features, and it is scheduled for release later this quarter. Our new Cellmate initial product testing was completed in 2015, and we announced the product release in April of this year. We will be completing our first customer implementation of the product this quarter and have seen demand and interest start to accelerate. Although there are other tablet-based technologies being introduced to the market, Lattice is the only completely wireless handheld technology in the market that has the capability to become a fully functioned smartphone upon the inmate's release. While in the corrections facility, Cellmate provides the inmate with the same experience as a commercial available smartphone in a completely secure environment. Capabilities of Cellmate Mobile include phone and voicemail, secure access to account information, access to Family Connect, which is a low-rate communications plan, managed commissary and phone account, email with keyword search, text messaging with keyword search, entertainment including music, books, and games, access to the Lattice Library that provides free public domain books, educational services, legal library, and services. Based on the initial market feedback, we believe the technology to be industry-leading and provide the inmates with technology at a fair price point and provides inmates and friends and family with access to services currently not available. In addition, the device enables facilities to provide services that ease the cost burden of their operation. We will continue to provide updates as we roll out new apps for the Cellmate Mobile. We are also currently evaluating rental programs for inmates that are incarcerated for relatively short periods of time. As we previously discussed, for the past 2 years, the FCC has been reviewing the inmate communication service industry and specifically was looking at regulating the rates that could be charged to inmates for telephone calls. On October 22nd of last year, the FCC passed a new order capping rates and eliminating almost all ancillary fees. The order passed with a 3-2 vote in favor. However, there was a stay granted delaying the implementation of the new rate caps. The stay did not include the ancillary charges, and these caps will be implemented on schedule. The net effect to Lattice, based on our initial analysis and similar rates in some of our existing facilities, we anticipate very little impact on revenue and gross margin. The reduced call rates will cause an increase in volume, and the increase in volume will enable better economies of scale to offset any cost increase. With that, I will open the call to your question, operator.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And we'll take our first question from Thomas Pfister with Red Chip Companies.
Hi, Paul. How are you? How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, thanks.
Good. Hey, Tom.
So just my first question here, I'm just going to kind of get an idea of maybe a potential revenue acceleration. So given some of the new product launches that seem like they're about to start up here very shortly, do you think maybe we could start seeing some growth in revenues starting, is it maybe fourth quarter of this year? Maybe is it the first quarter of 2017?
Yeah, I would probably say in the latter part of this year. And the reason being is that we actually started selling with, one of the partners that we're working on potentially dealing with, just kind of on a trial basis. So, we really need to get this product in the hands and our services in the hands of our partners that already have contracts in place with correctional facilities. So when we talk about looking at different distribution channels, our goal really is to be able to work with companies that are already in the corrections market and have contracts with existing correctional facilities that we want to market to our markets that we're currently not marketing to. And that will enable us to accelerate getting into those correctional facilities, because when you work on a direct sales model, you have to go in, you have to negotiate a new contract and displace an existing contract, which is obviously a time-consuming effort. That doesn't mean that we'll abandon our direct sales effort. I think we will just complement it with a larger distribution channel. And what we're finding is that there are some companies with very strong regional presences throughout the U.S., and those are the types of companies that we want to partner with that currently aren't providing this type of service, but it would be a nice add-on to what they're providing. So we should start to see some of those partnerships take place near the latter half of this year. As I mentioned in my opening comments, we've already started discussions with a few, started working on a couple of contracts with specifically one of them, and we're looking to expand that relationship this year.
Okay, thanks for the color there. And then just to understand how this is going to look on the P&L, so with these partners, so as you implement your technology into some of these new customers, if it's going through the partners, is there still the one-time technology associated with that?
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is, especially with the new video visitation product that's coming out at the end of the year, you're going to see that as one-time technology sales with some recurring revenue behind it. So it really either is implemented in one of two ways. Either it's a sale or it's some form of lease or service type contract. So in other words, we can go in and implement it directly with some service fees behind it, with a one-time charge, or what we can do is just offer it as a service over a multi-year contract. So you will see specifically the video visitation product have an impact on technology sales, because a lot of companies will want to buy that outright and just have a service contract behind it rather than offering it as a service suite.
Okay, good. Thanks. Makes sense. My next question is, could you go over the recent agreement that you entered into with GTL and how that has kind of affect your business?
Yeah, that was kind of a long-term relationship that we had through a company that they had that they had bought, and we were discussing this for quite some time. And they actually had acquired a company called TouchPay. So they have what they call trust accounting software, which allows for money deposits and money transfers. If you take cash directly, like for example in our facility, someone makes a deposit on a kiosk specifically for telephony, that's fine. But as soon as they make a deposit on a kiosk and it can go to the telecom company or a commissary company or another company, then in some states that requires a money transmittal license, which Lattice does not have, nor would we look at getting one, as it's a very expensive proposition. This company has that. So what we're looking at is in some of our facilities is actually implementing their payment and trust accounting system so that we can take deposits and transfer them back and forth between commissary and the telecom group. The interesting thing about that is that technology is also, their kiosk technology is also being implemented in courthouses, which is a technology that we currently don't have that will allow for payments for different things such as, you know, any court fees that are due, whether it's, you know, traffic tickets or anything along those lines. So that allows us an additional sales point into our markets that we currently don't have. And we're just actually kicking off understanding those services and getting the concept of those services and how to sell them into our sales team's hands. So that relationship is very, very new. We're excited about being able to resell that product, as I think it's going to be able to enhance what we can bring to the table as a complete solution to not only correctional facilities, but law enforcement that is also required for overseeing the court system as well.
Okay, great. That sounds very good. And just my last question here, could you just kind of review some of your recent and ongoing capital raise efforts, and just how does this does your efforts there affect your ability to you know, roll out your sales force and some of these new implementations going forward?
Sorry, did you say our capital raising efforts?
Yes.
Yeah, so what we've continually obviously been in the market, and we've been, you know, we've successfully raised capital in the past and continue to do so. I think what we've, you know, where we're really looking now is to be able to do this with some of our strategic partners. Reason being is because then it's more of just a financial interest in the company. It's a financial and sales interest in the company, which we believe will help obviously accelerate sales when there's obviously skin in the game with some of our partners that above and beyond just being able to sell our product. If there is an actual investment in the company as well, then there's a little tighter relationship between the two. So that's really where my efforts have been focused. That doesn't mean that we're not going out directly to the capital markets like we have in the past. But I think, you know, really to help accelerate this, I think what we'd like to see is some of that investment coming from partnership or relationships.
Okay, thanks for the color there. That's all the questions I have for today. Thanks again for taking my questions. And I think, you know, some of the coming results here should be very exciting.
Thank you.
The next question is from Jeffrey Margulies with Baining and Scattergood.
Paul, how are you today?
Doing well, Jeff. How about yourself?
I'm fine, thanks. A couple questions. First of all, where do you stand on the collection of the government receivable?
Well, Joe can add a little color on that, but what we did is we actually have brought someone in with a lot of expertise in that area to help us collect it. Joe, do you want to just give a little more color on that process?
Yeah, I mean, we passed an audit where they approved our pricing and our rates, and now we're just trying to reconcile the funding of those line items with the obligating agencies, and that's taking longer than we anticipated. I don't expect it'll be resolved in the next 90 days, but probably looking at 120 days.
Will you recover 100% on the dollar, or Are they going
to
discount?
Well, yeah, right now what we're carrying on our books, we should be able to recover 100%. We have support
fine.
To cover that. Yeah.
All right. I guess Joe or Paul, the other issue is some of your funding has been done with convertible instruments, and you're diluting existing shareholders. How are you going to, basically stop this, I guess? I mean, because it's – what are you going to do, I guess? I mean, are you going to do it with your strategic partners? Will you be basically just – will it be debt? Will it be just cash, and they'll be getting stock, or how are you going to handle this? Because right now I think existing shareholders are getting diluted, correct?
Well, on the convertibles, but you got to remember the convertible price is much higher than the market is today.
Right.
I think those convertible numbers are up around 13, 14 cents.
Okay.
So those are quite high. I think what we're looking at doing with the strategic partners is I'd like to get that balance sheet turned right side up somehow. So I think it may be a form of consolidating the existing debt into a longer term instrument that gives the company the breathing room to grow, that can facilitate the pay down of that debt that's in a much longer term. So that's really what we're looking at doing. We're obviously sensitive to the dilution factor. I mean, management is our equity holders in the company as well. So
right.
We're definitely in line with shareholders there.
Another question, I guess, is I would assume it costs about $300,000 to be a public company. Joe, Paul, I mean,
that would be
yeah, fun. I mean, if you look at direct costs, it's probably a little bit more than that. And then if you allocate like some indirects, it creeps up a little bit. But probably in the half to a million range, I would call.
Okay.
It.
Given the constraints on cash, have you thought of ever doing something where you somehow do some sort of quasi going private with some sort of stub stock being issued to existing shareholders to participate in the upside, or?
Yeah, I mean, as far as being public versus private, one of the big issues we ran into last year was we had a preferred shareholder that had a lot of negative covenants on the company, and staying public was obviously one of them. So we have had those conversations at the board level. We haven't come to a determination as to whether we'd go that direction or not, but it is something that we are definitely continuing to evaluate.
All right, and finally, I guess, being a local Philly company or a South Jersey company, is there any way that you can get the word out on your company, the local paper, Philadelphia Business Journal, Inquirer? I mean, it seems to be a natural where I talk about this company every once in a while, and there's been no press on your company, and what can you do about that, I guess?
Yeah, a couple things on that area. We actually are just bringing in a new sales resource for the Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia area, and that's when it's going to be prudent for us to get that PR out there, because getting that PR out now, the first question that has always come up to me is, well, why aren't you in Pennsylvania? And, well, we didn't have a sales resource there. So we do now,
okay.
Very well connected in the corrections market. The other thing that we did very recently with my with the video that I did with RedChip, that actually got into the hands of some local Philadelphia groups that actually did some work with inmates in the once they were released to help improve quality of life and help inmates once they're released. They saw the video, actually met with some of them, loved what we were doing with cellmates. So what we're looking at doing now is reshooting a video with more of a public face to it. So in other words, what we did in the past was really investor-based. In other words, here's the product, here's why it's great in correctional facilities. We'd like to do another one where we say, look, here's the benefit to society by us having this product out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe we can do that in conjunction with some of these former inmates who really, really liked the product and thought it could do good things. And that's actually all in the Philadelphia area. So to answer your question in a roundabout way, now is the time for us to go out and get that PR now that we've got the resources in there, now that we can actually launch Cellmate in the Pennsylvania market. We're definitely well positioned to do that. So that is something we're going to do here in the fall.
I appreciate it. All right. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
As a reminder, it's *1 to ask a question on the phone today. And we'll go next to Dan Boyer with Bainey.
Yeah, Paul, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I'd like some more information on the consultants' view of your sales force, what they suggested, how that's being implemented, where you expect to be as far as you know, your full manning. I know you had targeted eight markets maybe a year ago. Did the revamping of the sales force, did that stop you in your tracks, or was it just a temporary setback? I'd just like some more color on that whole effort with the products, how you're going to get them out in the field.
Yeah, so what we were looking at doing when we revamped the sales force was really having it focused on four markets by the end of the year with a revamped sales force. Now, the existing sales force is productive. The problem that we ran into with the sales force, it was really more account management based, which really means, you know, they were comfortable bringing in their, you know, 5-10 accounts, whatever it may be, but actually going out and hunting for new business wasn't really the expertise that we had in the company. So that's what we're really changing. Now, what we did is we brought in a company to help us recruit, and we've had great success. The people that we're bringing in are used to carrying large quotas. They're hunters. They bring correctional relationships to the table. The reason that we want to do the four markets now is that we want to be able to aggressively grow those markets where we have some good opportunity, which we do now, and that's primarily in a little closer to where we're located. So it's really, if you take from Pennsylvania all the way down through Florida, that's really the market area that we're currently focused on, and that's where our real ripe opportunities are, and that's where we're staffing the salespeople. As far as did it stop us in our tracks, yeah, it set us back a bit, definitely, no doubt about that. But I think it also allowed us to really reposition the company and really reposition us for what was considered more of a commoditized product in the past with the telephony service into something where we have this great new innovation with the Cellmate product. And the new reps that we brought in, that's the first thing they grabbed onto is says, you got to get that out there and you got to get that in front of correctional facilities. And that's really what we're focused on going forward. So if you look at the sales in the past, it is a fairly commoditized industry in that, you know, this is just a phone on the wall where you're making phone calls. They're to a lot of correctional facilities. You know, whether you go with our company or another company, it may be a difference in quality of service, maybe a slight difference in technology, but it's the new technology and the innovation that that we really need to get out there. And that brings me to the other point of why we actually wanted to look more at partnerships. Because this is a new innovative technology, we can't just dribble it out into the market. I mean, once we're out there, we've got to be able to get stronger distribution channels and get it out there fast, because the competition isn't just going to sit around and let us take market share.
Thank you. Can you shed some light on what technology was not sold in the second quarter that you would normally, that would be part of your normal run?
Yeah, that's typically software licensing. And as Joe mentioned in opening remarks, that's very choppy. What we'll probably see in the near future is we're going to continue to license that technology, but the technologies you'll see in the future are probably going to be more around the video visitation technology and the Cellmate product. Whether we sell, you know, large quantities of that through our distribution channels or we sell it directly. Those two products going forward are going to be a larger portion of the technology sales, and it's going to be less of the traditional software licensing for the telephony type products, which is really a core switching technology.
Okay, thank you. Just going back to something just popped into my mind as far as the sales, when do you expect the benefits of these new relationships to really become part of your regular sales plan and whatever? Do you think it'll be, I mean, I know it's ongoing, but would you expect in 6 months to have established, you know, tell me what your goals are, your thoughts are in that regard.
Yeah, we wanted to see it in here by the end of the year, start to see some of that generate through the new Cellmate platform. And we anticipate still being able to do that. I think we'll be able to start talking about new Cellmate implementations, either being implemented or being awarded in the fourth quarter. We already have a couple under our belt that we're just working through right now. And I expect to see a lot more being able to be announced in the fourth quarter and then really start to see it ramp up in the month following that.
Good. Okay, sounds great. Have there been any, you talked about the arraignments by the judge. With so many cases in courts being thrown out on technicalities for, you know, seeming absurd reasons. Has there been any pushback or any concern about whether these arraignments might not be legally defensible?
We haven't seen any. You know, that's, you know, I think what we're you know, the big takeaway on that is twofold. Number one, there are arraignment systems out there. This isn't, you know, something new. There are some systems such as, you know, Cisco's got a system out there, et cetera. The problem is they're very costly. The issue with arraignment being remote is really, you know, it's really in the judge's hands whether he wants to do that. The correctional facilities like it because they don't have to move the inmate. You know, it's a cost, it's a security risk, et cetera, but it's really up to an individual judge as to whether he wants to do video arraignment or not. Some people are very old school, want to do it face-to-face, don't like the idea of doing it over video. You know, others like the concept. But you'll see a push coming from the correctional facility side, but it's the court that has the final decision on it. But I haven't heard anything on the legal front of it, so
okay.
I can't really comment on that.
Okay. Paul, thank you very much. Appreciate your candor.
And our next question is from Richard Molinsky, a private investor.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Doing well, Rich. How about yourself?
All right, good. A couple quick questions. I got on the call late, but how much money are you hoping to receive back from the government and the receivable that you're trying to get back in the next 100 days? That's the first question.
You're kind of cracking up there, but I think Joey was asking whether the how much we were expecting to receive from the federal government.
Right, that's the question.
Yeah, I mean, what we're carrying on the books is $700,000 in receivables, and I don't see
okay.
any impairment or reason for impairment on that number. So
okay, all right. And the other one is, I noticed when they were in the field, there was a payment of $250,000 made. I was wondering how that money, how you paid that payment, and how close do you do strategic, you know, the strategic deal to try to help out there.
I
know that the camera will do.
It's very hard to understand.
I'm sorry.
Strategic deals that we're working on that we are, you know, it is something that we're looking at. And as far as the payment, you know, we're always working with our debt holders to make sure that we're in good standing with them. And as we mentioned in the 10Q, we made the payment. It was on extension that they gave us.
Okay. Well, I look forward to next few quarters. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Appreciate it.
And there are no more questions remaining in the queue. I'd like to turn the call back to Paul Burgess for any additional remarks.
All right. Thank you, operator. On behalf of Lattice, I want to thank everyone for the interest and participation in the call. If you have any interest in visiting with us, please let myself or John Cunningham from RedChip know, and we'll make sure it gets arranged. Again, thank you for joining us on the call. We look forward to speaking with you again in the near future. Operator.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.